Morning. Today's daf in Menachos is Pei Gimel. We're going to be finishing up today the eighth parak of the Masechta. We start today on Pei Beis Amud Beis. We are about halfway down on the Amud. And one topic for today, just one, and it's a really continuation of yesterday. The Mishnah yesterday taught us that when you have a chovah, when you have an obligation and you want to pay for that chovah, you have to be paying it out of your post-tax dollars. Yeah, it's got to come from your money. You can't use Meister Sheni and use it to buy your kabbanas. That was the Mishnah's point yesterday. Minayin, it's a very basic point by Kashim in general. Minayin lama harei alai toda. If a person says that he takes upon himself now to bring karban toda, so he has now committed himself, he made a neder. So shelo yavi elam in the chulin. So it can only come from chulin, and it can't come from Meister Sheni money. So tam lama v'zavach the pesach l'Hashem l'kecha tzon v'akar, and then the Mishnah gives us a drasha. So and the karban pesach itself can only come from. Let me actually finish the point. The Mishnah made a drasha. The Mishnah makes a drasha from Karban Pesach. Just like Karban Pesach can only come from Chulin, so too every carbon that you have an obligation to bring can only come from Chulin. And then the Gemara yesterday went through a series of, well, how do we know about Karban Pesach? It can only come from Chulin. And so what we're going to be seeing over the course of yesterday's daf and today's daf is that there are two pathways to go down to arrive at this answer. One is the pathway of Rabbi Eliezer, and the other is the pathway of Rabbi Akiva. Yesterday we did Rabbi Eliezer, and today we're going to do Rabbi Akiva, and that's the dapim for the of yesterday and today. Before we continue, in the event that you may be a little bit confused in terms of, didn't yesterday we say you take a Meister Sheni and you buy Shlamim with it? We did say that yesterday, and that's correct. In other words, when you take Meister Sheni to your Shlamim, so what you want to do with it is you want to buy Shlamim with it so that you're going to maximize your Meister Sheni, meaning not only are you going to be eating Meister Sheni in your Shlamim, which in of itself is a mitzvah, but you're maximizing it by bringing it as a Karban Shlamim as well. But there, you're not satisfying an obligation, meaning you have no obligation to take Meister Sheni and to roll it over into Shlamim. It's just simply something that you can do. But if you have a prior obligation, you can't take Meister Sheni and then use it to satisfy a previous obligation. Okay, good. Just to clarify what we saw yesterday versus what we're seeing today. Karban Pesach can only come from Chulin, and it can't be used, and you can't use Meister Sheni for your Karban Pesach. How do I know that? So if you remember yesterday, so Rabbi Eliezer says, I have a source, and that is Pesach Mitzrayim. But in Mitzrayim, so we were instructed to bring Karban Pesach, there was no institution of Meister Sheni, so therefore, you can't use Meister Sheni for your Karban Pesach. To which the Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Eliezer, what are you talking about? In Mitzrayim, you're right, but in Mitzrayim, we didn't have Meister Sheni. How can I learn a halacha for all future generations from an event where there was no Meister Sheni? This is what's called an halacha learning efshar from efshar. But Rabbi Eliezer was comfortable with that. Didn't bother him. Okay, good. But Rabbi Akiva rejected it. And what I'm doing really is I'm simplifying the discussion that we had yesterday. It gets a little bit more involved in that, but that's basically, in a nutshell, that was basically the debate between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. We are going to pick it up where we left off yesterday on Pei Beis Amud Beis, Uvit Tarbitza Amor. Now, in the base measures, they said, now this is really an extension of yesterday's point. Yesterday, the Gemara said what Rabbi Eliezer finally countered to Rabbi Akiva was the Hekesh. And the Gemara says, "Emes shivin al hekesh." Now we don't challenge a hekesh, meaning once you have a hekesh is so strong and so powerful that it trumps. It's certainly better than a kavachomer, as we learned time and again. A kavachomer, a person can make a kavachomer argument even if he didn't receive it as a tradition. However, with a kavachomer argument, it can be upset with a challenge. Even a gzera shava on certain occasions can also be upset with a challenge. But a hekesh is so strong, it's so powerful when you have two ideas mentioned the same pasuk, juxtaposed one next to the other. So ein meshivin ala hekesh, you can't challenge a hekesh. Good. Uve tarbitzna amor. Now in the base measures they said tarbitzna is a word describing the base measures. It's a place where Torah is expounded upon. So v'chi davar lamed behekesh chozem lamed behekesh. So the Gemara says, now, what are we doing? What we're doing over here is as following. We're learning one hekesh to arrive at another hekesh. Meaning the first hekesh gets us from Karban Pesach to Karban Pesach, Pesach and Mitzrayim to Pesach for all future generations. And from there, we're learning out the halacha from Pesach Doros to all other Karbanos. And isn't that a double jump? And by Karbanos, don't we say that you can't make a double jump? So, Bechlala Itmar, Pesach Kulechan Milsehi. But they answered very simply, no, because it's not a double jump. The first jump was from Pesach Mitzrayim to Pesach Doros. That is not considered a jump. That's all internal within Karban Pesach, and so therefore going from there to another source is not considered a double move. Okay, good. I should have read that yesterday. Okay, but I read it today. Rabbi Akiva, and now we are on to the other side. So over the course of yesterday's daf, what we learned together is the source of this halacha that a Karban Pesach can only be bought from Chulin, and we saw it Aliba according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, as we just outlined. And now for the remainder of today's daf, really the remainder, hopefully we'll start a little bit of the new parak today, but we're going to be doing all this now according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Pesach no baal elamin achulim minale. So where does Rabbi Akiva arrive at this conclusion that a Karban Pesach can only come from Chulin? So nafkalei mehada amr shmul mishum Rabbi Eliezer. So he learns it now from the following. Now there's a pasuk that we're all familiar with. Now I say all of us are familiar with it. I'm really speaking more to the Ashkenazim. We don't have a lot of piyutim that we say. There used to be a lot more piyutim, and what happened to the piyutim, I can't tell you. My knowledge on liturgy is really not that good. But we had a lot of piyutim. So the one piyut that's left, it's a remnant, is called Keli on Musaf of Yantiv. So before we start Musaf, we say Kalkeli. Although I have noticed that it gets knocked out many times. For many reasons, but one thing that Kalkeli does for us is it really solidifies in our head a pasuk in Parashat Tzav. The pasuk says, "Zos Torah laola lemincha lachatzas laasham valami luim ulezevach hashlamim." Okay, so Ashkenazim, they're familiar. So it's the one paragraph we say before Ashrei on Yantif. So anyway, so over here, this entire pasuk is superfluous. Meaning, these are the laws of Ola Mincha, Chatzos Hashem, Miluim, and Zevach Hashlamim. As if to say, like, we didn't know that. Meaning, after going through all the psukim, you know that the Torah just outlined in Parsha Tzav all the halachas of all these karbanos. So why at the end of the Parsha is the Torah repeating, here are the laws of this, 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 and this, and mentioning all the karbanos? So, what we're going to do now is as follows. Now, this is all by way of one lengthy introduction. Because really, what's our objective today? Our objective today is to see how Rabbi Akiva looks at that pasuk and learns out the halachas from that pasuk. And one of the halachas that he's going to learn out from that pasuk is that when you have an obligation, it has to come from Chulin and it cannot come from Eiser Sheni. That is really the goal of what we're getting to. Up until that point in time, however, we're going to have a really long intro. And when I say a long intro, what do I mean by that? We're going to look at this pasuk not first by Rabbi Akiva, but first by Rabbi Eliezer. How Rabbi Eliezer understands the Pasuk. But that's not the objective. The objective is to get to how Rabbi Akiva understands the Pasuk. So here we are now in just a long intro. This is all according to Rabbi Eliezer. Daham Rishmo Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Zosat Torah la'olah la'mincha l'chatzos la'ashom l'am... Sorry. V'lam iluim u'lezevach ha'shlamim. And so now we're going to go carbon by carbon. So first we start off with Ola. What is the point of the Torah mentioning all over there? Ma Ola tuna kli av kol taun kli. So a carbon ola requires a kli. Kli for what? The Gadzik Gemara is the very next question. Mahi ilema mizrak. Now, are we talking about bowls? So gabiziv chesham mitziv or namiksiv? What do you mean? Bowls? Bowls for the blood? Meaning that when you shech the animal, the blood has to be collected in a bowl? We know that. Vayasim ba'aganos. The Torah, in describing the shlamim that are offered by Mamad Har Sinai, it says that we collected the blood in the bowl. And that was specific to a carbon shlamim. So we know already that there is a bowl requirement in terms of collecting the blood, and we don't need this pasuk and this drasha. So therefore, the Gemara says, Ela Sakin. So the Gemara says, you're right. We're talking about the knife. There's a knife requirement, meaning that when you shech the carbon, it has to be done with a knife, and it sounds like the knife is a kli sharis. So you'll recall, we had a debate, a discussion earlier, whether in fact the knife has a status of a kli sharis. Rashi over here just simply says it's a knife and not with your fingernail, meaning you don't do malika with an animal. But okay, in any event. So drasha number one, carbon ola, tells us that you need a knife. Va'ola gufa minala. Now, how do I know that I need a knife by carbon ola? Where does the Torah tell us specifically that a knife is used by carbon ola? The Gemara gives a most interesting source. Avraham, upon arriving at Har Moriah and getting ready now to shecht his son, so he takes a ma'achelas. So there is the singular, clear reference in the Torah that a knife is required to shecht a carbon ola. Now, how do I know carbon ola? V'asam ola hu dichsi v'yalei ola tachas b'no. Because when they found the ram, they offered the ram, and it says that it was brought up as a carbon ola in the place of his son. So in other words, so we know that that parsha is in reference to a carbon ola. And therefore, now we have a source in the Torah that a carbon ola is used a knife. Now we're going to take that halacha that a carbon ola requires a knife, and now we're going to bring it back to our parsha in Sav. It's the last pasuk, or I should say better, second to last pasuk in the seventh parak of Vayikra. And now that is number one. That's carbon ola. Okay, mincha. We are up to mincha. Now, if you follow the pasuk in order, the pasuk starts with ola and then it goes to mincha. Certainly one can wonder, I certainly wonder why it is that we go from Ola to Mincha. But anyway, so number two is Mincha. Ma Mincha inu nechalas ala zichre kuhuna, af kol e nechal ala zichre kuhuna. A Mincha can only be eaten by male Kohanim. So too, all the other Kadshei Kadashim can only be eaten by male Kohanim. My, so Ichatus Vashem, the Gemara says, okay, that's great. What did you just extend the halacha to? Meaning, we're learning now that just like mincha is kachet kadashim, mean by male kohanim, so too are all other kachet kadashim. We already knew this point, right? Ichatus vashem. The Gemara now asks the question: if we're talking about chatus and hashem adjective, it's beferish, it's explicit in the Torah. Behajik siv. It says explicitly, and Rashi goes through the psukim. Izav chesham etzibor mi ribuy dekrayase. And if we're talking about communal shlamim, can only be eaten by male kohanim. That we also know as well. Bekodesh HaKadoshim Tochlenu Kol Zachar Yochal Oso. The Pasuk in Parshas Korach tells us that Kashe Kadoshim are to be eaten. Yochal Oso. Those are extra words. We learn from those extra words that it comes to include even Shamit Zibor. So Liman Al Zivche Shamit Zibor Shein Nechal Mele Zivche Kuhuna. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. There are some Tanaim who learn the Halacha from over there. So tonight he ikad amaisi lemahacha, ikad amaisi lemahacha. But some learn it from our pasuk, meaning the end of Perek Zayin. Good. Chatas, the Gemara continues now. We are now up to the carbon chatas mentioned in the pasuk. So ma chatas mekadeshes bebalua, afkol mekadeshes bebalua. Now you know by carbon chatas, if another carbon in the base of Mikdash absorbs the meat, the chatas meat, it will take on all the stringencies of the chatas meat. Chatas meat can only be eaten for one day and one night, can only be eaten by male kohanim, can only be eaten in the azara. If, let's say, the chatas falls on top of the meat of carbon shlamim, so now when the shlamim absorbs all the juices of the chatas, it will now be bound by all these rules and restrictions that we just outlined. Asham, this is now the fourth carbon mentioned in that pasuk. Ma'asham ein shpir v'shal yekadosh bo, af kol ein shpir v'shal yekadosh bo. Now, when you have a carbon asham, so if there's a fetus inside and if there's an amniotic sac inside, so that does not have kedusha. Now, I hope everyone here knows the answer. Why is there no fetus or amniotic sac in the asham? Because it's a male animal. Okay, good. So now we are going to learn out from that it's going to be true by every carbon, even a female animal. Now, there are two points to be made over here, and the Gemara makes both of those points. They are obvious points. Otherwise, we can't really go any further. And that is, Kasavra Vladis Kadoshim Bev Yasan Hain, Kadoshin. So, point number one. Okay. The developing fetus inside of a carbon. So, the Gemara doesn't use this language, but I'll use it because we're kind of comfortable with this language. If we say that a fetus is an extension of the mother, it's considered while inside, while in utero, it's considered an appendage of the mother. So we know that every appendage of the mother has kedusha. If the mother's a carbon, so that appendage, which is, we'll call the fetus, is going to have the same kedusha. So right now we're going to say that the way to view a fetus inside of the mother, at least the way we're presently looking at it right now in our Gemara, is that it's not considered an appendage of the mother. And when is it going to be imbued with the kedusha that its mother has? Only upon emergence. This is a major debate in terms of when a fetus is going to get the kedusha of its mother. That it's host mother, when it's developing inside, or only upon emergence. We are going to say right now, behavyas and hein kedoshin, only upon emergence. And that's point number one. Point number two, dan efshar mishi efshar. And the obvious point also is that if we're learning this halacha from carbon asham, now carbon asham, there's no fetus, there's no amniotic sac because it's a male animal. And it can't have a fetus and it can't have an amniotic sac. But still, this brisa is comfortable with the idea that we can learn out something which is possible from something which is impossible. And so therefore, when we transfer over the halacha from an ashram to all other kabanos, so by all other kabanos, when there is a fetus developing inside, it does not have the kedusha of its mother. And it will only receive the kedusha upon emergence. Next, miluim. The fifth carbon mentioned in this pasuk, ma miluim mosrem b'sreifa ve'ein balechaim ve'ein balechaim mosrem b'sreifa av kol mosrem b'sreifa ve'ein balechaim mosrem b'sreifa. The halacha goes like this: by miluim, those are carbonates that are brought upon inauguration of the Mishkan. By miluim, if there is any left over the next day, it is to be burnt, like all nosar. However, when we're talking about a residual of a live animal, no such thing by miluim. And the way Rashi understands it goes like this. We have discussed already a number of times recently in the Gemara that sometimes people set aside more than one carbon for their requirement. The second one is achrayus. It's just like an insurance policy. What happens after you successfully bring your first carbon? What happens to the second one? You let it graze, develop a blemish, and then redeem it. What we're learning right now over here is basically this halacha. We're learning it from miluim. Do you know why we're learning it from the miluim? Because by the miluim, there is no mosar, there is no residual. It's a carbon seabor. For all carbon seabors, you only take exactly what you need, you don't take any more. This is Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. So that means to say that if there is a mosar, it is not going to be burnt because by miluim, there simply is no mosar, there is no residual carbon while it's alive. Okay. And finally, point number six, shlamim, ashlamim, mefaglim, mefaglim, afkol, mefaglim, mefaglim. A halacha that we went over numerous times. You know, by shlamim, there's pigle. In other words, if a kohen has a machshava while doing any one of the avodas, of either that he's going to eat the carbon beyond its a lot of time or place, so the carbon is going to be disqualified, rendered pigle. Where does the Torah teach us this? By shlamim. How do we know this halacha extends to other carbonas as well? This pasuk in the Torah. Okay, so what we have now covered is this pasuk in the Torah, Perek Zion, pasuk Lamed Zion, and we have gone over the six carbonas mentioned in this pasuk, and all the halachas that are generated from this, all according to Rabbi Eliezer. And that was all one lengthy intro. Because now what we're going to do is we're going to do round two. We're going to go through this pasuk again, and we're going to see it all according to Rabbi Akiva. And that was the whole purpose of bringing this in, is to demonstrate that, according to Rabbi Akiva, he's going to learn out a specific halacha from one of these six karbanos, relevant to our discussion, notably, that when you buy a chova, when you're purchasing a chova karban, it has to come from chulin, it has to come from your money, you can't use Meister Sheni. And so here we go now, round two. B'masis n'tana mishmed Rabbi Akiva. Now this is all the way Rabbi Akiva looks at this pasuk. Now here in this brisa, so obviously this is all Aliba de Rabbi Akiva, and interestingly, in this brisa, we're skipping the Ola. Now, we're not skipping the Ola, meaning obviously he knows the carbon Ola is mentioned in this pasuk, but my best guess is that he probably agrees that the way Rabbi Eliezer understood the word Ola, and what did we learn out from the pasuk of Ola that you need a knife? So, too, Rabbi Akiva also understands the same thing as well. Anyway, we start in this pasuk with Mincha. Zos Taras, etc., Mincha. So, we're starting now with carbon number two, and that is Mincha. So what is Rabbi Akiva learning out from the pasuk over here? The idea of absorption. If you have a carbon that absorbs some of the mincha, it will take on all the stringencies of a mincha. Now remember, for a mincha, what are the stringencies? It's kacha kadashim. It can only be eaten by male kohanim in the azara for one day and one night. Fine. So if anything else absorbs it, same halacha. Now, it sounds familiar, doesn't it? Didn't we make exactly the same point by Chatas? So the Gemara says, yes, we did, and we need it by both. Why? You see, bread is very absorbent. It's wheat, it's a flour. And flour is very absorbent. And so therefore, I could see the absorption when it comes to bread. But if we're talking about meat is obviously much tougher. It's a muscle. It's a much tougher entity. And so therefore, maybe it doesn't absorb as much. On the other hand, I can make another argument, which is that meat, even though it is harder, but it's fatty. And so therefore, the fat is going to absorb, create an absorption, a deep absorption. However, when it comes to bread, yes, it's true that bread is soft and it does absorb, but maybe it's a more superficial absorption. Simply put, we have this idea that both by Chatas and by Mincha, So if there's an absorption of it, of the chatas and the mincha, it will take on all the stringencies of a chatas of a mincha. Okay, now, chatas. We are now up to the next carbon. So this is the third carbon mentioned in the pasuk. Ma chatas eino ba ela min hachulin. So you know the chatas only comes from chulin. Uvayom uviyado yamanis av kol eino ba ela min hachulin uvayom uviyado hayamanis. So three things we're going to say by chatas. One is that it can only come from chulin. How do I know that? So stay tuned. And two, vayom. It's only offered during the day. And three, viyadu yaman, is when the Kohen is doing the zrikas adam, the blood applications on the mizbeach, he's doing it with his right hand. So the Gemara says, avkolei nobalam in a chulin viyom of viyadu yaman is, and now because it's located in this pasuk, so therefore it means that these halachas are not just limited to the carbon chatas, but extends to all other carbonas as well. V'chatas gufa minala. Now how do I know that this is true by carbon chatas? Amar Rav Chista, Amar Krav, v'ikriva aronis bar chatas shelo, lo mishelo v'lo mishel meiser. Because the Torah gives instructions to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur that he's going to bring a par. And the Torah says it's mishelo. It's the Kohen's par, meaning it's coming from his bank account. So it has to be coming from his post-tax dollars. And you cannot use Meister Sheni in order to purchase his carbon chatas. So that is the source in the Torah. The carbon chatas has to be coming from private money and not from Meister Sheni money. And so that now establishes carbon chatas. We then plug it into this pasuk, meaning Perek Zayin, pasuk Lamed Zayin. And from there, now we're going to be extending it to all other carbonos. Now, a couple of small points the Gemara makes over here by Yomi, Yom Tzavas or Nafka. Now, we just learned together that just like the carbon chatas is done during the day, that's not the source, meaning that's the halacha, but that's not the source. Mm-hmm. What is the source? So the source is from the pasuk of Yom Tzavaso, the day in which I commanded, meaning that all karbanos are offered during the day. So the Gemara says, Kedei Naspa, your Gemara says, you're absolutely right. It is mentioned over here in this brisa, but only incidentally. It is not the source of the halacha of Bayom. B'yado yaman is mid Rabba Bar Barchana nafkad amar Rabba Bar Barchana amar Reish Lakish kol makom shenemar etzba v'kuhuna eino ela yamin. So the Gemara once again balks at the idea that this is the source of the right hand. This is not the source of the right hand. The source that a Kohen has to be using his right hand comes from elsewhere. Every time either the Torah says either uses the word etzba or uses the word kahuna, it means that it has to be done with the right hand. So this is not the source. And again, the Gemara says kedei nasba. You're right. That is the source. It was mentioned over here, but only incidentally. You're right. That's not the source. The only source that we're really learning over here is the halacha that the chatas has to be purchased from chulin money, and you cannot use Meister Sheni. Now, at this point in time, we could really stop. I mean, obviously we're not, but the point now has been made. Meaning that Rabbi Akiva, from this pasuk, Zayin Lamed Zayin, learns out the halacha that just like by chatas has to be purchased with chulin money, so too all other kabbanas have to be purchased with chulin money and not Meister Sheni money. Really, that's it. Meaning, the point has been made. But as long as we're here now, we're going to be learning out all the other halachas that are generated from this pasuk. But really, in other words, if you want to know what the goal of today was, it was this point right over here.
That pasuk mentions all possible carbon. I mean, the carbon Torah is on there.
Carbon Torah is subsumed under shlamim, and shlamim is mentioned, right? Ula zevacha shlamim. Okay, so yeah, let's say yes. Asham, ma asham atzmosav mutarim, afkol atzmosav mutarim. Now, by carbon asham, the bones of a carbon asham are permitted. Meaning, after you offer the carbon asham, and the Kohanim are going to be eating the carbon asham, obviously they're not expected to eat the bones. Right? We don't eat bones. The marrow inside, okay, that's, you know, that's great. But in other words, but not the bone itself. What becomes of the bone? So the bones are now chulin, meaning they're usable and they can be used by anybody for any purpose. And the Gemara is learning out over here, the same thing could be said by every carbon. That once you get to the bones are totally mutter, even by carbonola. Now, mind you, as Rashi over here points out, by carbonola, we have to take the entire animal and put it up on the mizbech and burn on the top of the mizbech. So we're probably never going to see those bones because they're going to be burned on the top of the mizbech. But as Rashi points out over here, let's say while the ola is being burned on the top of the mizbech because of the heat and all that energy, so one of the bones flies off the mizbech, so there's no requirement to take the bone and put it back on the mizbech. So then what you could do is you could take the bone home, and Rashi over here gives an example. What are you going to do with the bone? You could use it for the handle of a blade. Basically, in other words, you can make kalim out of it. But in other words, we're allowed to get benefit from the bones. Rabbi Kiva, hi. Okay, and Adkan. meaning we're done. Now mind you, by the way, there are actually two more things mentioned in the pasuk that this brisa didn't deal with. There's miluim, and then there's also shlamim. Okay. But in the meantime, however, the point has been made, and let's continue in the Gemara. We're on the very last line of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, and now one more thing to take into consideration. We have just learned in the course of today's daf that according to Rabbi Akiva, the source of the halacha that when you have a chova, you cannot use Meister Sheni, but it has to come from Chulin, comes from this drasha right over here. Which means that according to Rabbi Akiva, the drasha that Rabbi Eliezer used yesterday is not necessary. And you know, the Gemara does this kind of accounting all the time. What is Rabbi Akiva going to do with the pasuk cited by Rabbi Eliezer? That's the Gemara's question, and the Gemara now is going to field that question. Rabbi Akiva, hai v'zavachta pesach mai avid lei. So what does he do with that pasuk? Top of Pei Gimel Amud Beis. Mibai lei licha d'Rav Nachman. So he needs to teach us the following halacha. D'amar Rav Nachman, amar Rava baravua, minayin lamos Rav Pesach shekara shlamim. Shenemar v'zavachta pesach l'Hashem l'kecha tzonu v'kar. So he uses this pasuk to teach us the following halacha. Now we're all familiar with the halacha. We've said it over many times. But here, the Gemara over here is teaching us the source of this halacha. I had a carbon Pesach. And for whatever reason, I didn't use it on Pesach. Pesach has now come and gone. When I offer this carbon on any other day of the year, it converts into a shlamim. Now, how do I know that? This is a pasuk that teaches us this halacha according to Rabbi Kiva. The pasuk says, "V'zavach lePesach l'Hashem l'kecha tzonu v'kar v'lo ein Pesach ba elam in a kavazim v'min ha'izim." Again, a most confounding pasuk, where the Torah says you're going to bring a carbon Pesach from cattle and from sheep. Cattle, carbon Pesach doesn't come from cattle. So what's the Torah talking about? Elam mosa Pesach yehela davar haba min ha'tzonu min ha'bakar. What the Torah means is that if I don't have the actual carbon Pesach itself, well, it was a carbon Pesach, but it wasn't used for a carbon Pesach, and it was used at a later time, at a later date. So I'm going to use it for what I normally use Sona Bakar for, which is Shlamim. Now, to be honest and to be fair, Sona Bakar can also be used for Carbonola as well. But if we just use a little bit of logic over here, if the Pesach is going to convert into any carbon, of course it makes more sense that it converts into a Shlamim, because the carbon Pesach is meant to be eaten. In fact, the entire design of carbon Pesach is that it's to be consumed. So if it's convertible to any carbon, so the most obvious option would be a shlamim. So the Gemara says, fine. So that's the drasha according to Rabbi Akiva. Now the Gemara says, that's good. But you know what? I have another drasha. In fact, the Gemara is going to tell us, we have two other drashas that teach us the same exact point. V'aha, mehacha nafka, medavu d'shmul nafka. Don't we learn it from the following that was taught by Avu d'shmul? D'chsiv im min hatson karbano lezevach hashlamim. What the Torah now is turning to is the third parak of Vayikra, where the Torah introduces us to a shlamim, and the Torah goes animal by animal. So, right, the beginning of the third parak, v'im zevach shlamim karbano, im min abakar hu makriv. So first the Torah talks about the cattle, large animal. Then, next paragraph, starting in Pasuk Vav, v'im min atzon karbano lezevach shlamim l'Hashem. So it takes us to sheep. Next paragraph, v'im eiz karbano v'kriv lifnei Hashem. So the Torah, when introducing us to the carbon shlamim, goes cow, sheep, goat, and v'amar avu d'shmul. Let's see this inside. V'amar avu d'shmul davar haba min atzon yeiz lezevach hashlamim. What we're learning over here, why the Torah is outlining sheep, is this, to teach us the following: that let's say it's not just any sheep, but you know what kind of sheep it was? It was a carbon Pesach. And again, for whatever reason, we didn't use it for the Karban Pesach. So that's fine. So in other words, so it'll just simply roll over into a shlamim. The Gemara says, now wait one second, that's so interesting. I have another drasha that gets us to the same point as well, which is Keves L'Rabbah says Pesach L'Alya. The Keves is there to teach us that for the Karban Pesach, the tail is included as part of the Karban Pesach. Now, I'll explain that better in just a moment. So the fact that the Torah says im keves is there to teach me that if the, let's say the Karban Pesach now was not brought on the 14th, and in fact now it is over a year old, and we know that once a sheep or a goat has turned its first birthday, it is no longer eligible to be brought as a Karban Pesach. So what happens? It simply rolls over into a Shlamim. And when it rolls over into a Shlamim, now what? All the Shlamim rules apply. Sheitenu smicha, that you have to do the mitzvah of smicha as you do with every regular Karban Shlamim. Mind you, by the way, as a Karban Pesach, there was no smicha requirement. Smicha is only required for a regular Shlamim. Unisachim, and it requires libations. Utenufa chazav ishok, and the waving of the chest of the animal and the leg of the animal, that which is the parts of a Shlamim that go to a Kohen. Again, essentially said, we treat it like a regular Shlamim. Kishu amr v'imeiz hifzika inyan. Limed al eish einu taun alya. However, when it comes to a goat, by virtue of the fact that the Torah separates sheep and goat, it's really there to teach us one halacha. And that is that by a goat, there is no aliyah requirement, there's no tail requirement, meaning that the tail of a goat does not have to go up onto the mizbeach. Okay, so what we've just learned all together is that that on three occasions we are learning in the Torah, three separate drashas we're learning in the Torah, that if a Karban Pesach is not offered on the 14th day of Nisan, and it's offered on any other day of the year, it rolls over into a shlamim. And so basically now what bothers the Gemara is, good, the halacha we all agree upon. Why do I need three separate sources? And the Gemara goes on to explain. Tlasat Kraik Siva. It says the three times, Chad la'avra zmano v'avra shnaso, Chad la'avra zmano v'lo avra shnaso, v'chad la'avra zmano v'lo avra shnaso. The three are teaching us, they're like basically building one chiddush on top of another. I'm going to explain each one of them. Utzricha. Di'yash mina avra zmano v'avra shnaso mishum di'itche lei legamre. Look. Let's say this animal both now is too old, meaning, and by too old I mean it's now in its second year of life. It completed its first year, had its first birthday. So now the animal's too old, and it's also post Pesach. So now one can imagine, right? It's past its prime on both points, meaning both in terms of the calendar and in terms of its own internal calendar. And aval avras manav lo avras naso dechaz la pesach sheni emalo. But let's say, yes, we miss Pesach, but the animal is still within its first year of life, and it could be used a month later for Pesach sheni. So I might have thought that such an animal does not convert over into a shlamim. That's why I need a second drasha. V'i ashmin en avras manav lo avras naso de'itchelei mi Pesach rishon. Aval lo avras manav lo avras naso de'afil Pesach rishon amichazi emalo. Now, what if the following? Let's say it's both within its first year of life and it's before Pesach. It's the 12th day of Nisan. And let's say I shecht it on that day. I can make an argument that that it does not roll over into a shlamim. Because think about its eligibility. It is still young enough. It's still, we're 2 days away, 3 days away, 2 days away from Karban Pesach. So could make the argument that in such a situation it doesn't roll over into a shlamim. So the third drasha is there to tell us that even though it is not post-Pesach, but it's pre-Pesach. And even though the animal is not a year old, which means that it's eligible, still, if it's not shecht on the 14th day of Nisan, so it rolls over into a shlamim. That's why I need all three drashas. Let's go back to the tail for just a moment, and I'll just make a quick point regarding the tail. Meaning, what normally happens with a sheep as it's offered as a regular, as a standard carpet shlamim? And the answer is that the tail of the sheep is going to go on to the mizbeach. It goes on to the Mizbech and it's burnt on the Mizbech, otherwise known as it's one of the Imurim. It's one of the innards of the animal that is put onto the Mizbech, generally by Shlamim, so the kidneys and the diaphragm and the fat surrounding them are going on to the Mizbech. So so those are normally the Imurim that go on the Mizbech, but when it comes to a sheep, in addition to that, the tail as well goes on to the Mizbech. Why does the Torah over here tell me that when it comes to a Karban Pesach, the Torah has to repeat this point that the tail goes onto the Mizbeach? Because one might have thought that when it comes to Karban Pesach, we know what is the halacha regarding the Karban Pesach. It has to be roasted whole. The entire Karban Pesach has to be roasted as one entity, as one unit. Now, obviously, the animal is going to get flayed, but after that, it has to be roasted whole. So therefore, one could have entertained the idea that I understand that normally when a sheep is offered as a shlamim, the tail should go onto the Mizbeach. But over here, as it relates to the Karban Pesach, so the Karban Pesach, you could have made a counter-argument. No, not in this case, because the tail should be going not on the Mizbech, but the tail should be burned with the rest of the animal. So that's why the Torah has to teach us, no, even as a Karban Pesach, if you're choosing, if you're electing a sheep, so the tail still is going to be burnt on the top of the Mizbech. That's the Chiddush over there. Okay. It reminds me, right, we spoke about this a while back. Somebody spoke about this as one of the post Hashkama Chaburos. You know, Karban Pesach has to be roasted whole. What about the Gid Anasha? Right? Are we supposed to remove the Gid Anasha before roasting the Karban Pesach, or do you leave the Gid Anasha in? And so it's a machlokas Rishonim. So the Rambam's position very clear. The Rambam says you leave it in. Leave the Gid Anasha in the animal, roast it with the Gid Anasha inside, and then when we sit down to eat Karban Pesach, so we'll do Nikar, we'll Traber, we'll excise the sciatic nerve while we're eating it. Good. That's the Rambam's position. The Ravid over there, take a look. It's in the 10th parak of the Karban Pesach. Of Hilchos Karban Pesach of the Rambam. The Ravid over there doesn't agree. He says no, that's whatever. He very strongly disagrees with the Rambam. You could see over there for his language. He says that of course you're going to take out the Gid Anasha beforehand. I have to roast it whole. The Ravid says, yeah, it is whole, mostly. You just remove the Gid Anasha. Okay. Anyway, that is the end of the 8th parak. Okay. Let's get at least comfortable. Let's start the 9th parak of the Masechta. The 9th parak of the Masechta once again is going to now deal with some of the more basic issues regarding the Karban Mincha. Notably, where's the flour coming from? So, does it have to come from inside of Eretz Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael? Does it have to be a more recent crop? Can it be like some crop that was harvested 2, 4, 5 years ago? So the Mishnah starts off. When it comes to the carbon sebor and that of an individual, so it can come, the flour can come. By the way, I know the Mishnah uses the words carbon, but in this case, we're learning menachos right now, and Rashi over here writes, we're really talking about mincha, even though the word of the Mishnah is used as carbon. But anyway, when it comes to a mincha, so whether it's communal, whether it's individual, the grain can come from in Eretz Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael, the most recent harvest, or maybe a harvest of 4 or 5 years ago. Chutz mina omer shtei alechem, sheinam bayim ela mina chadash umina aretz. However, when it comes to the mincha omer, and the shtei alechem offered on Shavuos, so there, the grains that are coming, now remember, for the omer it's barley, for the shtei alechem it's wheat, the grains have to be 1, from Eretz Yisrael. 2, it has to be coming from this year's grains, which I know is obvious because they're serving as the matir for this year's grains. V'kulam inabayim elam min ha-muvchar. And also, it has to be the premium grain. Now, when we say premium grain, what do we mean by that? Ve'ezah muvchar. So, shalahem. So, there are two towns the Mishnah identifies. Please don't ask me for the geography. I can just tell you the names of the town and that's it. One town, his name is Machnis, and the other town is Zatcha. They are Alpha Lasolis, right? The Mishnah over here is using the word Alpha, meaning it's like we use it, like the Greek letter, right? Like the first letter of the alphabet, Alpha. In other words, it is first cut grain. Okay, it's not cut. Well, you understand. So it's Alpha Lasolis. Shnilahem, now in terms of what's second grade, so second grade is Ofarayim. Bibika, right, the Ofarayim of the valley. Apparently there were more than one Ofarayim, but whatever. In other words, so that is the second grade grain. Kol ha'aretz ha'yuk sheres ala mikana yumavien. Now, again, in terms of this idea of premium grain, so we just identify three places where we have grade A and you have grade B. Now, again, you could really get it from anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, but what you should be getting it from is from these places that we just identified, and really grade A, meaning those, the two towns of Machnis and Zatcha, are the two towns where you should be principally getting the grains from. Masnisin, the Loki Aitana, the Tanya. Now the Gemara immediately picks up on the idea that our Mishnah is very clear that when you have the Omer and the Shtei Lechem, so two qualifications. One, it has to be current grain of this season. Two is it has to be coming from Eretz Yisrael, not from outside. Omer Abba min Yashin Kasher, Shtei Alechem Abbas min Yashin Ksheras, Ela Shechiser Mitzvah. So in this Braisa, the Braisa here is arguing with our Mishnah. The Braisa states clearly that the Omer and Shealechem do not have to be coming from this year's grain. It could be coming from grain of 2, 5, 10 years ago. Now, I know it runs a little bit counterintuitive because the grains of the Omer, the barley of the Omer, and the wheat of the Shealechem are serving as a matir. And it's a little bit odd that I'm using grain that's 5 years old, which is going to be serving as a matir for this year's grains. But okay, meaning, but according to the Braisa, that's acceptable. Now, the point of the Gemara is that the Braisa does not agree with our Mishnah. So, mitzvah. Now, even the Braisa acknowledges, it's not the best, but it's okay. So, Omer dichsiv takrifas minchas bikurecha ve'afila minah aliyah. Even if it means we're going to go to the attic meaning that we stored a grain from 2, 5 seasons ago, that's okay. And you can even go to the attic in order to get the grains for the Shtei Alechem. Now the Gemara says, "Ha fikta." Now the Gemara says, "Wait 1 second. In that last drasha regarding the Shtei Alechem, you already darshened." To which the Gemara says, "That's true." I'm a krat tavio afilo mina aliyah. So the Gemara says, "Okay, but really what we're doing is we're learning it from the word tavio." Okay, fine. We're gonna pause over here. We'll pause over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Let's quickly recap. Okay, today's daf is really easy to summarize. The entire purpose of the first half of today's daf is to teach us that according to Rabbi Akiva, what is the source in the Torah that when you have a chova, an obligation of a karban, that it has to come from chul and can't come from Maaser Sheni? So according to Rabbi Akiva, it's learned out from the pasuk of Zion Lamed Zion, 7th parak of Ayikra, 37th pasuk, where there the Torah enumerates the 6 karbanos, and according to Rabbi Akiva, the chatas is there to teach us that just like chatas has to come from chulin, so too all obligations have to come from chulin and not from Maaser Sheni. Okay, good. And according to Rabbi Akiva, what do I need 3 drashas of Moser Pesach? So the perek ended off by teaching us why I have a necessity of 3 separate drashas to tell me that if I have a karban Pesach offered on any other day of the year, it rolls over into a shlamin. And 3 different drashas to make the point. And then we started the 9th parak this morning, and in it we learned the halacha, that you can get grain from mincha, from anywhere, in and out of Eretz Yisrael, current grain, grains of years ago, storage grain, but when it comes to the Omer, the Shealechem, it has to come from Eretz Yisrael and can only come from this year's crop and not from a past year. And then the Braisa disagrees, and tomorrow we'll pick it up with the Braisa, and we'll analyze the Braisa a little bit better.